I went from warm to warmer. Definitely warm to warmer. Well, good afternoon, brethren, and happy Sabbath to all of you.
Happy Sabbath.
I like participation. Brethren, God wants you and I to have faith. And at the same time, he also wants you and I to increase our faith. But how? It's not something that you and I can just wish for or work up on our own. So how, brethren, can we grow in faith? In case you're wondering, the title of my message today is How to Grow in Faith. Let's turn to Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. Regarding his second coming, Jesus asked this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, I've heard people over the years conjecture on this. I've heard people say, no, he won't find faith. I've heard people say, absolutely, yes, he will find faith on the earth. So today, brethren, we will be focusing on how to grow in faith and the importance of faith. Why, brethren, was Jesus so concerned about us having faith? Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6, brethren, will tell us why faith is so important to God. It says very, very clearly, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you and I want to please God, brethren, we need to have faith. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, that's Hebrews 11, 6. God expects you and I to have faith and to grow in faith. And brethren, if we really believe God and live according to that faith, God will truly be pleased. And we will at the same time also be blessed. But lacking faith and failing to live by faith at the same time is displeasing to God. Why, brethren, would that be displeasing to God? Because God's honor is actually at stake. So let's answer the question first. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is an unshakable belief in God and the promises of God, the promises that he makes to you and I, and the promises that he has made to the world. It involves God's commands, his commandments, his laws, his statutes, his ordinances. And brethren, you and I are expected to put such confidence in everything that God tells us to do that we actually do it. We don't just know it, we do it. So how do we dishonor God by a lack of faith? When we disbelieve God, we are in essence saying to God, I don't really believe that you will do what you say you will do. And I don't really believe that you are what you say you are. And God's response to that, brethren, would be, I am a promise-keeping God. You know, the thing is, God has never failed once. God has kept every promise he has ever made. And he always will. Again, provided, of course, that we meet the conditions that he outlines. Faith is one of the key qualities that God is looking for in you and I. It only makes sense that we learn how to grow in that faith. Now, when it comes to the subject of faith, is it only a matter of having it or not having it? The Bible makes it clear that there are degrees of faith. Jesus described some people of his day as having little faith and others as having great faith. Let's turn to Mark 9:23. Actually, let's start in verse 14, Mark 9:14. Mark 9:14. Says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately, when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed, and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son, who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they were unable to. He answered him and said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I bear with you? How long shall I be with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Verse 21, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on him and help. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What he was saying is, I have faith, but I know I need more of it. I do have faith, but I know I need more faith. So it's not a bad question. In fact, it's a question we should be asking ourselves. How much faith do I currently have? How dedicated am I to increasing my faith? You and I need to have growing faith, brethren. None of us has enough of it. Back in 1991, the year that my wife and I were married, we went to our first feast as a married couple, Spokane, Washington. And on Family Day that year, it was going to rain, which is very normal, obviously, in Washington to have rain, but they predicted rain that day. During services, during the in between the sermonette and the sermon that day, the gentleman giving the announcements asked for prayers from the brethren, that they would pray about the situation for Family Day that day, that God would hold the rain off so that we could have our Family Day. When we all arrived there was an interesting situation taking place. It was raining all around us, and if you looked up from where we were all standing, there was a clear circle in the sky. Clouds were all around us, but where we were having family day was very, very dry. And to me, that showed God's power, God's ability to do what only He can do. I'll tell you another little story of a situation. I don't remember exactly what year it was, but my wife and I were invited to a wedding in Oregon. Now, the mother of this young lady had been preparing her yard probably at least a year in advance. This was going to be an outdoor wedding. And they had spent a lot of time with the flowers, and they put new fencing up and such, and just really making the yard beautiful. Well, sure enough, that morning, the clouds were rolling in, and excuse me one second. It is dry up here. The clouds were rolling in, and it was very obvious that if something didn't happen, there was going to be a very wet outdoor wedding. So the gentleman and I got these tarps out, and they had these beautiful trellises full of flowers. And we got ladders up there. We started putting tarps up, just at least that way the bride and the groom could stand underneath the tarps and they could still have this outdoor wedding. Well, those tarps began to fill up with water as we were beginning to put them in place. And before we knew it, the tarps were tilting forward, and my church clothes looked like I had just hopped out of the shower. My clothes were just drenched, and we began to realize in this situation, this was no longer going to be an outdoor wedding. This was going to be an indoor wedding. Well, the mother of the bride and the bride were both very, very upset. They were heartbroken that all of their plans had gone down the drain, so to speak. And we tried to explain to this girl. We said, either way, you're married. That's all that matters. That's what this day was about. You were going to be married, you're married, and it didn't really matter whether it was indoors or outdoors. And this was another example to me. God could have done that, but at the end of the day, He chose not to. You know, there are people that have applied for jobs over the years, a job that they really want, and maybe others were being considered for that job. And sometimes the comment has been made, I'm going to have faith that I will get the exact job that I want. If I have faith, I'm sure I will get that job. But you know, brethren, there is no promises from God in the Bible that we're going to have every job we want exactly when we want. There is no promises from God that it's not going to rain on our wedding day if we're going to have an outdoor wedding. God could have chosen to keep family day wet. And knowing the brethren, we still would have gone and we still would have enjoyed ourselves and had a good time. Let's turn to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22. Does God provide a blank check to those who have faith in Him? Mark 11:22. Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Do these verses give you and I promises with no qualifications? Can we rightly have confidence that God will always give us everything we ask for? Well, we need to apply some logic to these verses. If there were no qualifications on what we ask, it would mean that you and I would never have to suffer. Obviously, none of us likes to suffer. We could ask that we would never have a health problem, never be in an accident, never have a family problem, never have financial problems. We would be confident that our lives would be stress-free and problem-free. But, brethren, that is not reality. The Bible tells us very clearly in Acts 14:22 that it is through many tribulations, through many trials, that we enter the kingdom of God, in that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let's consider the life of Jesus Christ when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before his crucifixion. Did he get anything and everything that he wanted? No, he did not, brethren. In fact, Jesus Christ gives you and I the perfect example to follow. Let's turn to Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39. Matthew 26:39. This is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying to his Father about the crucifixion that he's going to be going through in a very short few moments. As it begins, he says in Matthew 26:39, he says, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." And this is the key. "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, willingly, humbly surrendered and yielded his life to the will of God. He made his request, then he left it in God the Father's hands to do what his Father knew was best. In a similar way, brethren, you and I are free, we are free to ask anything of God. At the same time, we need to understand that in order to receive that request, it must be a part of God's wise, loving, and perfect will for our lives. And if it's not according to the will of God, we shouldn't want it anyway. That's a key. As I was researching this message, I found this helpful quote. It says, "God does not just give us what we want. God gives us everything we would want if we knew everything he knows." Faith involves believing that God knows best, and that really truly is the key. Faith is also based on God's promises, and you and I should know the promises of God. We shouldn't assume that God promises something that he doesn't promise. You and I need to understand the promises in the context that he gives them, which is the context of his plan and his purpose for us. I'm going to give you a few of the, what I would call, cut and dried promises of God, just as an example. God will provide us with all of our physical and spiritual needs. That is a promise. Matthew 6:31-33. God will finish the spiritual work that he's begun in us. Philippians 1:6. God will give us the wisdom we ask for as we go through life. James 1:5. God will never leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5. God will never allow you and I to go through a trial that we cannot bear. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will give us peace of mind. Philippians 4:7. God will forgive any and every sin once we repent of them. That's 1 John 1:9. God will make it possible for us to grow and to become like Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:15. God will cause everything that happens in our lives to eventually work out for good. And that is Romans 8:28. Those are only a few of God's very clear and specific promises. In the remainder of my message today, I'm going to cover 3 points on how to grow in faith. You know, brethren, it's comforting to know that if we just do the things that God tells us to do, our faith will grow. We don't have to figure this out for ourselves. We just need to do what God tells us to do. The first point is ask God for more faith. You and I need to have more faith, brethren, and we need to ask God for more faith through the power of God's Spirit. We should ask God for more faith on a daily basis, on a regular basis. We can't assume that God will just automatically give us faith. God watches us to see how much we want to increase our faith. He wants to see how important it is to us. So, first point, ask God for more faith. The second point, focus on obeying God, obedience. Let's turn to James 2:14. James 2:14. James 2:14 says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" This is not saying that you and I can earn salvation. We know that eternal life is a gift from God. It's not something that we can earn. But God does expect to see works in our lives. So what are these works, brethren, that God wants to see? They involve obedience and learning to live by every word of God. In James 2, verse 15 through 16, it continues on and says, "If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warm and filled,' but you don't give them the things which are needed for the body, what does that profit?" What profit is that? And then verse 17 of James 2 says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." It's a dead faith. Faith without obedience is a counterfeit. In God's eyes, it's a mockery of true living faith. So God tells you and I it's not possible to have faith unless we're keeping his law and living his way of life. And then it continues on to verse 18 of James 2. It says, "Someone will say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" In other words, James is saying, you can't show me real faith without works because there is no such thing. our faith, brethren, is tested every single day. And that is how we grow in faith. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. You know, the Bible tells us that complaining is a sin. And if you look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. The opposite of complaining, brethren, is learning to be content. That can be an area where our faith is tested. And when we obey the command to not complain, when we are content, our obedience will prove our faith. It proves that we believe that God's way works. You know, the same thing can be said about many other commands, such as the need to forgive others, to not let the sun go down on our anger, to give thanks in every situation, to be kind in our dealings with others. Then James puts belief in perspective, and this is in James 2:19. Says, you believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Now, no one would say that the demons are pleasing God just because they believe in his existence. Well, the same is true of us, brethren, if we claim to believe but don't obey. James then gives the example of Abraham in James 2, verses 22 through 23, showing that his obedience, Abraham's obedience, made his faith perfect. When we obey God, our faith grows and becomes more complete. And obviously, it's very clear, God was pleased that Abraham was willing to obey him, no matter the request. So, brethren, why don't people obey God? Well, because they don't believe God. They don't believe that it pays to obey God. They don't believe that God will do what he says he will do. And underneath it all, and this is the plight of mankind, they just want to do what they want to do. They want to do their own will. So if we're not diligently applying ourselves to the things of God, we're not going to have much faith, and we're not going to be growing in faith. So what does that mean for you and I? It means we need to be analyzing our lives and asking ourselves, where is it that I am out of step with what God tells me to do in his word? We need to think about these things and then make the needed changes in our lives. When we do, brethren, God will respond, and we will find that we will grow in faith. No one's faith will grow unless they really focus on obeying God. And then the third point, you and I need to be putting the word of God in our minds. There's a key verse found in Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This Bible that you and I have in front of us, that is the word of God, brethren. If we're not constantly putting the Bible into our minds, we are not going to have much faith or grow in faith. It is that simple. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents, So what's the point? Abraham obeyed God because he believed that he would receive the promises of God, the promises that God had made him. That, brethren, is why people obey. They believe. They act on what God says because they know if they do, that God will bless them. They will receive whatever God has promised. Then it says in verse 10, he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, brethren, heard the truth from God, the truth about this future city, and he believed God. This resulted in his obedience. Now, if we focus on the physical circumstances, the less likely it is that we will have faith. The more we look into God's word, the more we will grow in that faith. When we do that, we will begin to overcome doubt. When we study God's word and think deeply about what we've read, how to apply it in our lives, then it becomes a very real part of our lives. And because you and I will be filled with the word of God, we will have a growing faith. We will step out and do what God says, which in turn will increase our faith. But if we get away from God's word, if we don't study daily and on a regular basis, it begins to fade from us, becomes very insignificant in our thinking. God becomes less real to us. His promises are not as real to us. That's just the way humans are, brethren. They forget. And that's why God, in his wisdom, created the weekly Sabbath to remind us. He created the holy days that we rehearse every year to remind us of his plan of salvation for mankind. The more familiar that you and I are with God's word, and the more familiar we are with what he has done and will do, the more faith that you and I can have. That's because we know exactly what he says he will do through his word. Let's look at Mark 11:22 one more time. Mark 11:22. Was God specifically promising to move mountains, or was he making an even more important point? There is no record that God's people have had the need to move real mountains. But Christ let us know that the Almighty God can easily do that if he has a need. All of us face trials, challenges that can be overwhelming, sometimes seemingly impossible mountains that God can move and will move if he sees a need, brethren, as we ask in faith. Because it says very clearly in Matthew 19:26, for with God all things are possible. In closing, brethren, remember, God has a million ways of answering our prayers, a million ways that you and I can't even imagine of answering prayers on our behalf if we have true living faith in our great God. Number one, let's remember, let's ask God for more faith. Number two, let's focus on obeying God. And number three, let's make sure that we are putting God's word into our minds on a daily basis.